We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you a little surprised then at the level of frustration this late in the season that some of those things aren't connecting?
I'm okay with it. I think it's best that all these things happen now than come playoff time.
Al Horford right there. And you know, it's not a bad point. I guess for the Celtics optimists out there that think that this thing can still be fixed, that their chemistry issues are something that they can fix, and the fact that they don't like each other very much is something that they can fix. For people that believe that, then yeah, what Al Horford's saying is absolutely true. You know, you would rather have this now than have it come when the playoffs begin. And I don't know if this – I don't think that this is like what the 2010 Celtics were like. Remember, that team, let's face it, they were about an average team for the second half of the season. They played 500 basketball for a 45-game stretch. They did. Nobody thought that they were going to make their way back to the NBA Finals, let alone put themselves within minutes of winning a championship. But that's exactly what they did. They absolutely flipped the switch when they went to the playoffs. Now, that team had playoff pedigree. They had championship pedigree. And you could make the argument that they were bored with the regular season because the regular season was nothing else but a vehicle to get to the playoffs and to put themselves back in the championship discussion. This team didn't reach the finals last year. So for those people that think that, well, this team is simply waiting for the playoffs because of what happened last year, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. This team is not good enough to put themselves in that sort of category, that sort of class where, you know, they just go half-ass, half-speed during the regular season because they know it's all about the playoffs. I'm not there yet with this team. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. I hope they do. I would love nothing more. Remember, we sat here throughout the Red Sox season, and we waited for that other shoe to drop. We waited for them to have a prolonged stretch where they didn't play very good baseball. We waited for them to lose 12 out of 20 games because every Major League Baseball team goes through a stretch like that. And ultimately, that never happened for the Red Sox. And then we waited for them to implode in the playoffs. And we waited for David Price to continue to implode, and that didn't happen. And we waited for the fact that their closer was blowing up to ruin this thing for them. But that didn't happen. This team took their roving bullpen, and they did everything they needed to do to come together in the playoffs, and ultimately, it all wound up being something that we never could have seen happening. It was the World Series championship, and nobody could have predicted that going back to the beginning of last season. I don't think even the biggest Red Sox homers here really thought to themselves that that year was going to conclude the way that it did last year. And now you go back to the Patriots season. The Patriots season, again, it was a season full of distractions, full of negative press, full of this team just isn't good enough. Remember, we had this team losing back-to-back games in December. That is unheard of. Unheard of. There was a tremendous amount of negative press and negative publicity really surrounding this Patriots team. And as they backed into that number two seed, something they had to feel very lucky and grateful for, all right, ultimately, Patriots fans still believed that that wasn't going to be enough because the thought of this team going on the road and winning in KC this year, that was something even the biggest Patriots homers really couldn't allow themselves to imagine. Not to mention, it had been 5 years since a road team had won either the AFC or the NFC championship game. So this Patriots team that appeared mentally weak and physically not as talented as they typically are, did we really think that this was going to be the team that breaks that mold, that broke that mold? But ultimately, they were, and they surprised everybody by winning the Super Bowl, right? So maybe this Celtics team will surprise everybody as well. Maybe this Celtics team will put all their issues to the side once the playoffs begin, and we'll look at this team, and we'll look back on this team and say, you know what? A lot like the Red Sox, a lot like the Patriots, all that negative press, negative publicity, all the hours upon hours upon hours on sports radio, what a waste, because they proved everybody wrong, and they pulled their season together, and they wound up becoming champions. I don't think that's going to happen. But I know that this addition of the Celtics gives themselves a chance because they do have an elite superstar on their team. I'm just not sure that elite superstar outside of this year is somebody that I'm comfortable building this franchise around for the foreseeable future. Because what I've seen here is a complete deviation from what I'm used to seeing from the Boston Celtics. Now, maybe I'm used to having superstars here like Paul Pierce, who literally bled green, or Kevin Garnett, who literally bled green, and these guys cried when the Celtics shipped them away. Kevin Garnett, to this day, as recently as 6 months ago, said that he still bleeds green. We're used to Isaiah Thomas essentially openly and publicly begging the Celtics to keep him. Isaiah Thomas, despite the fact that the Celtics traded him after his sister died, after he tore apart his hip, they did all this, you know, and they did him dirty. The Celtics did Isaiah Thomas dirty. There's no getting around that. Despite all of that, Isaiah Thomas was still willing to take Danny Ainge's phone call and nearly signed here in the offseason last year before the Nuggets gave him $2 million guaranteed. Because the Celtics were not offering guaranteed money, and the Nuggets were, he chose the Nuggets offer. But he was willing to come back to the Celtics because he loved it here so much. We're used to seeing our superstars behave like that and talk like that. We're not used to seeing our superstars talk the way that Kyrie Irving talks. We're not used to hearing our superstars discuss the Celtics the way that Kyrie discusses the Celtics openly. Meaning we're used to our superstars being grateful and appreciative of what they have here in Boston, not of the Celtics trying to continue to court a current player. That's something we don't see here all that often, and maybe for me it's just being unfamiliar with what this part of the process is like because we're not used to seeing it unfold right before our eyes. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to these calls. Let's go to Pablo. Pablo's in Providence. Pablo, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, what's going on, Gil? How you doing?
Good, Pablo. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, so I think I have a little bit of a different take on the Anthony Davis fiasco and how the Celtics were looking at it and maybe how they should have been looking at it.
Okay.
The narrative had been, you know, which of the members of the Celtics' young core should be shipped out to New Orleans in exchange for Anthony Davis. But I think we missed an opportunity to include, instead of anybody from the young core, include Kyrie Irving and trade, you know, Kyrie Irving as the centerpiece of the package that we offer to New Orleans. Have Anthony Davis here in Boston and ride or die with somebody like Terry Rozier as our point guard.
The one flaw, I love that plan. I mentioned that plan about a month ago. I love it because I think that ultimately if you take last year's team and you add Anthony Davis to it, they get to the NBA Finals, which is exactly what you're proposing. The one flaw with that proposal, if you're the Celtics and if you're the Pelicans, is I think at least the Celtics give themselves an opportunity to potentially re-sign Anthony Davis. Plus, he's got 1 year left on his deal. So if you're the Celtics, you're at least getting 1.5 guaranteed years of Anthony Davis. What are the Pelicans getting out of this? They're getting 2 months of Kyrie Irving because he's most likely not re-signing with the Pelicans. So you would still have to include a Tatum in that deal or a Brown in that deal as well as multiple draft picks. Kyrie cannot be the centerpiece of that deal because they're not going to take him on as a centerpiece, as a rental.
I hear that, but Kyrie Irving has, I mean, you know, that's the centerpiece that you offer to New Orleans. You could expand the deal. I know that reports came out late that you know, Kyrie and LeBron James had reconciled. Well, what if New Orleans just turned around and shipped, you know, made it a three-way deal or had a separate deal and shipped Kyrie off to the Lakers and expanded the deal to include a third team? I think that that would have made everybody would have gotten a little bit of something out of a deal like that. You know, you get New Orleans would have gotten whatever, you know, in the poo-poo platter of players that maybe the Lakers were considering throwing into there.
Sure.
Plus the picks, you know, you can include, you know, the picks that that not just the Celtics' own picks, but the picks that they have accumulated as future assets from other teams. You know, I don't want to trade Tatum. I'd rather, if you had to include somebody from the young core, I'd rather trade Jaylen Brown because I see Tatum as a 25 point per game player, someone who you could build a team around, and uniting him with Anthony Davis for a year and a half. If Anthony Davis walks after that, you still have that $25-30 million slot open for anybody for somebody else like Kawhi Leonard, like Klay Thompson, somebody like that who, you know, those guys are alpha dogs, yeah, I mean, in terms of their ability to play.
Yeah, you're right. But here's the thing, Pablo, I appreciate the phone call. I can't get into all the idiosyncrasies and all the details of the collective bargaining agreement as it pertains to the salary cap, but I will say this. I wish it was that easy. I do. So, for example, if Kyrie Irving leaves the Celtics this year and does not re-sign, you would think that whatever his salary slot is, it's $22 million, that the Celtics would have that money to go spend this offseason. But that's not how it works. The Celtics are over the cap. You can stay over the cap to re-sign your own players without paying a luxury tax or paying a penalty. And the Celtics, they've got to worry about what they're going to do with their own players, because you're going to be coming up on Jaylen Brown next year. We'll be going into restricted free agency. Then the following year is going to be Tatum's turn. You need money to sign these guys as well. So it's not just, you know, remove a max guy, replace a max guy. That's why the NBA, you'll start to see more and more of these sign and trades. For example, let's say hypothetically that this offseason comes and Kyrie Irving walks away. Well, that doesn't mean that you can necessarily offer Kyrie's max slot to another free agent like a Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is most likely going to opt out of his deal and become a free agent because he's really looking at the Knicks. But ultimately, he's going to be a free agent. You would think to yourself, okay, let Kyrie walk, take that salary spot, and offer it to Kevin Durant. Let's see if you can get Kevin Durant to come to Boston. That's not how it works. That's why if the Celtics were to try to acquire a guy like a Kevin Durant, it would have to be in a sign and trade. Because if you trade away a guy like Gordon Hayward with his max salary and bring in and replace it with a Kevin Durant with his max salary, you're essentially staying under the cap and you're circumventing the rules because you're trading one guy for the other, but you're not signing a new guy outright. So there's all these different rules and ways that you have to circumvent the salary cap, but unfortunately, it's not quite as easy as the way that you laid it out. You know, meaning if you bring in a guy like Anthony Davis, and ultimately after a year and a half he walks, you don't necessarily get that money to go offer it to somebody else. That's why the Celtics have to be very careful if and when they do bring him in. And I know, Pablo, you said you don't want to give up Jason Tatum. I know you said that. Nobody wants to give up Jason Tatum. Let's not make any mistake about that. Jason Tatum is somebody I think all Celtics fans can agree on. We think he's got a very bright future here. Some people, like you, think that that future might be a little bit brighter than others, but I think most people think he's going to be a perennial 20 to 25 point a night guy, a guy that's going to make multiple All-Star games. And then there's a certain segment of people that think he's going to be even a step above that, you know, maybe in that top 10, top 15 player upper echelon. I think he's got the tools to do that as well. But when you look at the package of players and picks that the Pelicans turned down from the Lakers, I mean, it was obscene. It was a ridiculously huge package, all right, for Anthony Davis. The only reason they walked away from that, the only reason they're holding out, is because of the promise of Jason Tatum. That's it. You know, so Celtics fans, I hate to tell you this, but don't get too comfortable with the idea of Jason Tatum being here for the long term. I really don't think it's going to happen, and I think all the evidence that you need was right there in front of us. Ultimately, when the Lakers gave that final offer, the final version of their deal that the Pelicans walked away from, the only answer that makes sense at that point is the Pelicans are holding out for the Celtics offer, because let's face it, the Celtics offer is one of the only offers, if not the only offer, that can trump what the Lakers were offering. And the trump card that the Celtics hold is the promise of a young Jason Tatum. That's it. And it sucks if you're a Celtics fan and you want to keep Jason Tatum, because Jason Tatum, I think, is as good as gone. Matter of fact, there's reports out there today saying that Jason Tatum is telling people in and around his circle that he would not mind being traded to the Pelicans because he thinks he would embrace the challenge of being the face of the New Orleans franchise. So you don't have Jason Tatum exactly clamoring to stay either, which tells you a lot about what's going on with this Celtics team. You know, this guy that's been here, he went to the conference finals last year. Right now he's playing with a Kyrie Irving. You would think that if he's talking to his people, talking to his friends, talking to his agent, he will be talking to them about, how do I stay? How do I stay here? I want to be a part of this thing for the future. That's not what he's saying, though. He's saying that he wouldn't mind being traded to the Pelicans because he likes the challenge of being the face of that New Orleans franchise. That tells you that he doesn't exactly love the way things are going here with this Celtics team, and that's disappointing. It is Sports Radio. WEI, it is late night. Let's grab one more here. Let's go to Marcel. Marcel's in New York. Marcel, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, good evening at Gilroy on Hoops on Twitter.
Hey, hey, Marcel. How we doing, my friend?
It is definitely A-OK. I am so, so, so to be here on WEEI late at night. Hey, Patrick, thanks for having me on tonight.
It is purely my pleasure, Marcel. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I have some of my two NBA franchise teams tonight. They will be fall short. One for my Knicks and one for my Nets.
All right, go for it.
Tonight in Cleveland, they fall short, or they lost to the Cavs 107-104. Kadeem has 25 points and 6 assists. Knox had 13 points and 6 rebounds, and DeAndre had 12 points and 10 rebounds. Quite possibly our Knicks, nine of them, is going to be the lost in history.
Well, Marcel, when you say our Knicks, you have to be careful with that. You're on the air in Boston. Nobody here is going to consider them our Knicks. Maybe your Knicks and your Nets, but they're certainly not our Knicks, Marcel.
Your Celtics.
That's right.
Okay, my Knicks.
That's right.
Will be the lost.
Get it right.
In history. they will be playing Wednesday at the Garden against the 76ers.
Okay.
And tonight overnight in Toronto, my Nets lost to the Raptors, fall short, 127 to 125. Excuse me. D'Lo had 28 points. He got 14 assists and 7 rebounds. Joe Harris had got 24. He got 7 and 8 3-pointers. Alan Crabbe has 22 points and a 6-10 3-pointers as well. Big J underscore 15 points and 3 rebounds. And last but not least, Shabazz Napier, 10 points and 4 assists.
Look at that. We got the update from New York from Marcel. I appreciate the phone call and the update, I guess. I mean, I know that we've got multiple job openings here right now. Is that his way of putting in like his demo reel for Joey? What the hell was that?
I have no clue. From New York calling into a Boston station?
And to give a Knicks and Nets update, like a legit like scorecard is what he did too. Like it wasn't just, hey, you know, I'm concerned about my Knicks, or this was, he ran through the box score.
I mean, he definitely prepared for that sitting online for 40 minutes. But hey, I'm a New York fan, and I'm skeptical of what I say around here just so I don't get that on me. But
exactly. Marcel, you know, he wasn't, he just put it all out there. He said, those are our Knicks. Those are our Nets. They're not. They're just not.
I think he called the wrong number.
Sports Radio, WEI, it is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. If you're on the line, stay on the line. When we come back, I promise you we'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter. At Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And it's been a fun discussion tonight talking about the Celtics and really talking about what's been an ongoing problem for them all season long. They've had chemistry issues since day one. And you know, I'll never forget, they got out to that 10-10 start and the whole world acted like, you know, this team was imploding unto itself, like a dying star. But they fixed things. They did because of their talent and talent alone. And we've sat here for 2.5 hours talking about all the problems with this team, yet I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that they are 14 games over 500, which is the truly amazing thing when you talk about this basketball team and all the issues that have surrounded this team all season long. Because they are tremendously talented, they still have the opportunity to fix what ails them. But in order for this team to live up to its highest potential, based on the talent they have right now, and when I say that, that also includes based on the way guys that are injured, like Gordon Hayward is playing. Let's make the assumption that Gordon Hayward is not going to get any better. Let's make the assumption for this year that he is what he is. They can still be a much better basketball team than what we've seen them be. And Marcus Smart said it at practice today. You know, the one thing that has defined the Boston Celtics as long as Marcus has been here and as long as Brad Stevens has been here has been the fact that they have been the type of defensive team that really took it to their opposition, that took it to their opponents. They prided themselves on playing spectacular, hard-nosed defense. This year's Celtics team, whether it's a change in leadership from the top, whether it's because Kyrie Irving is setting the tone and tempo for this team, I'm not sure what the difference is, what the reason is, but they are a pushover defensively. And ultimately here, every time we've needed this team to make a key stop, they seem to fall short. They seem to come up short. And that's probably the first thing that needs to get fixed. I don't know if chemistry gets fixed here. I don't know if playing for each other actually happens for this team. Maybe come the playoffs when all their motivations change and essentially everything's heightened because everybody's playing up to a higher level, both offensively and defensively. Maybe at that point in the season, we'll see the true version of the Celtics come to play. But with or without that happening, you can fix what ails this team right away, whether the chemistry issues get fixed or not. If this team plays defense the way they have in years past, guess what? Suddenly they are the best team in the Eastern Conference again, whether they like each other or not, whether they are playing for each other or not, whether Marcus Morris is having fun or not. And guess what happens when you start winning consistently and stop losing games that you should win? Everything becomes more fun. You know, Marcus Morris, a lot was made out of what he said, but there is not a basketball player on the planet coming off two embarrassing home losses where you gave up an 18-point lead and lost a buzzer beater to Rajon Flippin Rondo hitting a jump shot. Follow that up with what happened against the Clippers where you blow a 28-point lead to Doc Rivers, and Doc's got six new players on his team, you know, six guys that have never practiced with the Clippers, six guys most people have never heard of, all right, helped make that comeback happen for the Clippers. There is not one basketball player on the planet that in a post-game interview after following back-to-back losses like that, that would have said much that was different from what Marcus Morris said. Certainly nobody would have gone out there and said, hey, guess what? We're having boatloads of fun over here in Boston following a weekend like that. All right, so that's the thing here. We all sort of took what Marcus Morris said and we ran with it. And yeah, this team has had chemistry problems all season long. This team has played as individuals all season long, and there is a litany of reasons why they continue to do so. But basketball is fun when you're winning. Basketball is fun when everybody is playing for one another because you're playing for a larger goal. And this year's team, for whatever reason, they've had a hard time keeping that larger goal in sight. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've got multiple jobs that they're trying to achieve within the sort of confines of one basketball season, meaning they're trying to somehow get Gordon Hayward back as close to what Gordon Hayward can be in season. Almost impossible to do. But that's their challenge this year. They're trying to continue to get Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier to take their next steps in their progression in season while playing them fewer minutes because Gordon Hayward is back, because Kyrie Irving is back. Near impossible to do. They're trying to set themselves up for their future by maximizing trade asset potential, all right, but while still keeping those guys interested in playing for the Celtics this year. It is the worst-kept secret in the NBA that right now, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Al Horford, they were all offered up, essentially, for a package that is centered around Anthony Davis. Yet you want those guys until July 1st to give the Celtics their all. These are all near-impossible tasks that Brad Stevens is now going to deal with here. Now, can Brad do a better job coaching? He absolutely can. I'm sick of Brad's excuses. I'm sick of the post-game comments sounding identical. And I'm sick of Brad allowing Kyrie Irving to walk all over him. At some point here, Brad cannot be afraid to bench one of these guys for a game or two. He can't because he needs to reestablish control. Right now, it appears to me that Brad doesn't have control of his own locker room. And whether that is benching a guy like Marcus Morris, benching a guy like Kyrie Irving, I don't care at this point. What is the worst that could happen? You just lost two horrific basketball games at home to the Lakers and the Clippers. It can't get much worse than that. It is Sports Radio. WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Blair, you're next up here on WEI.
The Rock. And the Rock is cooking because we're going to turn it around, Celtic fans. And we're going to turn it around because it's not just the Rock. It's the Celtics, baby, and we don't allow Knicks fans in here, and we don't allow any other fans besides Celtic fans, Boston Bruins fans, and those really, really good fans of the Patriot Nation fans, baby, because that's what we are, baby, and we keep it local. See you later. No, just kidding. I won't go. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Blair, how we doing tonight? You sound a little out there tonight. You okay?
I'm fine. I'm a little under the weather.
Tell me about what's happening at the Jab. Is your suspension over, or are you still suspended?
I'm actually till the 21st, and I'm going to let it go for a couple of days, so the next week I'll go on the 25th.
Okay.
Because I want to give it a couple more days after.
Okay. That sounds good. I mean,
anyways,
I'm glad you're
getting. Talk about the Celtics, man.
Well, yeah, let's
they
do
lost
it.
To both LA teams.
They did. It's terrible, Blair. It's
ridiculous.
Yep.
They crapped their pants.
Soft as baby poop.
yeah.
Really soft as a baby pooping the diaper.
Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here.
Soft as baby poop in a diaper, Blair. That's what they are. You know what I mean?
It's horrible. I mean, if they want to go to the championship this year for the NBA Finals, They got to really show it. They can't be doing what they just did. They got to really show it. They got to come to play. And during the games, they want to come to play. That's tomorrow night.
Well, listen.
Because the 76ers are going to come and beat the crap out of them and show it to own them. And it's at Philadelphia 76ers.
It is. So here's what I want from you, Blair, because one of the biggest knocks on Brad Stevens is the fact that he doesn't get emotional. He doesn't get loud. He doesn't get animated.
He's kicked out of a game, really.
Right. So he stands there with his arms crossed, and he's very, you know, quiet throughout most of the game, regardless of what's happening. So I want you to get in your own head here, and let's pretend that this is back at the Garden. The Celtics are blowing a 28-point lead to the Clippers. I want you to give your best sort of what Brad Stevens should sound like. Get loud, get animated, and I want you to rip into the Celtics, Blair.
That's a foul, ref. That's a foul. Why isn't that a foul on the floor? Oh, my God, that's a foul. That's horrible, ref. That's horrible. That's a foul.
Get yourself tossed. Come on, Blair. Give me more.
Come on, ref. That's horrible. Why didn't you call it a foul? Come on. You missed that. That's terrible. Come on, ref. Come on. Oh, come on. That's horrible. You're trash.
That's right. That's trash. I love it, Blair. See, if only Brad Stevens were more like Blair, I think the Celtics' problems could potentially be fixed. Let's grab another call before the break. Let's go to Robert. Robert's in Winchester. Robert, you're next up here on WEEI.
Patrick, I'd like to read you the Toronto box score now, if I could.
Go for it. I was kind of joking, but I still can't figure out that call from New York earlier, Robert. I have no idea what was happening.
I said to myself, boy, I look forward to listening to Patrick. How did I get a New York station?
Everyone laughing at a funny joke.
It's weird. It's late night, so I always give people like a little bit of extra time because it's late night, right? But I was waiting for him to either crack a joke or get to a point, but I legitimately think he was just going through the score, going through the box score. It's so weird.
I agree. I mean, hey, I lost my mind on Twitter tonight. Everybody calling for Brad Stevens to be fired and be canned. To me, it's Kyrie. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's an all-star, but I just don't think he's a team player.
It's hard, right? Because you do all this work, if you're Danny Ainge, to position yourself to bring in a guy like a Kyrie, a top 10, top 15 talent. And you think once you have that guy, your job is that much easier. You know, but now they've got this guy, and you're right. It isn't working with the other players on the roster this year for whatever the reason. But the question is, Robert, you know, when they go into this offseason, this might not be a problem next year because if you believe everything that you're reading, Danny's going to flip a half a dozen of these players for Anthony Davis anyways.
It wouldn't be Danny if he didn't.
That's exactly right. It wouldn't be Danny if he didn't. And Danny's going to take a big chance. He's going to trade, and the trade is going to have Tatum in it, whether there's an extension in place or not with Anthony Davis. I'm telling people right now, Danny is going to pull the trigger on that deal and roll the dice with the Celtics' future.
Would you put Danny in the Hall of Fame as a GM?
He needs to win one more championship. It's hard to go to the Hall of Fame as a GM with only one ring.
Because I think he was my favorite player. It killed me when he got traded to Sacramento.
Yeah, he went to Sacramento for Joe Klein.
Yeah, that killed me years ago. And I just think he's done a great job as a GM.
For the most part, he has. I mean, when you look at his deals, he's fleeced just about everybody when it comes to trades and whatnot. Drafting, he's been better the last 10 years than he was his first 10 years, but he's got to win another championship. And, you know, the argument could be made that he should have had one back when the big three was here, and then he had the Perk injury, then he traded Perk, so he essentially cost himself one right there. I think he's a surefire executive that goes to the Hall of Fame as an executive if he wins one more championship, Robert.
But you can definitely put me in the column, and I wanted Kyrie here when they traded for him, but now I can't wait for them to get rid of him.
Isn't that amazing? It's been about a year and a half, and even the biggest Celtics fans I know they're anticipating Kyrie Irving's exit from Boston, which is a storyline I never thought I would have to talk about. It's an angle I never thought would come up here, because not only is Kyrie that talented, I mean, again, top 10 talent, right? That's what he is, and he's having a great season, if not his best season as a pro, numbers-wise, and what we're seeing out there and what he's doing out there on a consistent basis. You can't ask for much more from Kyrie Irving. All that being said, it's not clicking. It's not working with the Celtics. And look, if Celtics fans had their choice, if they could build this team around Kyrie Irving or build this team around Brad Stevens, I'm telling you right now, 99.9% of Celtics fans would choose to build it around Brad Stevens, which is crazy, by the way. I mean, I know Brad's a really good young coach, but when you think about that for a minute, when you think about coaching in the NBA, coaches are generally considered babysitters, ego managers, you know, especially when you're coaching an elite team. What do you guys think that Steve Kerr is doing that's so magical? Do you think Steve Kerr knows plays, knows X's and O's that his players don't know? No, Steve Kerr played with Michael Jordan. He played with Scottie Pippen. He played with Tony Kukoc and Dennis Rodman. Nobody knows how to deal with egos and crazy the way that Steve Kerr does. So Steve Kerr is the perfect person to coach a team like the Golden State Warriors.
Y'all wouldn't know anything about dedication, team play.
He knows how to deal with all of that. Anytime you've shared the floor with Dennis Rodman, anytime you've shared the floor in a locker room with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, I mean, you absolutely learn how to deal with egos and deal with a little bit of crazy. So that's why Steve Kerr is such a perfect coach for the situation that he's in right now. You look at Brad Stevens, and, you know, Brad Stevens doesn't have the experience to draw on that he really needs right now to deal with a guy like Kyrie Irving. And normally in the NBA, nine out of 10 times, you choose the all-star player. You choose the transformative talent. You choose the talent on the floor over the coach 9 out of 10 times, if not 10 out of 10 times. But in this case, in Boston, with Brad Stevens, I really do believe that if you left it up to Celtics fans and they had to make a choice, whether it was Brad Stevens or Kyrie Irving to build for the future with, most of you would choose Brad Stevens, which is absolutely crazy. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Talk quite a bit of hoops so far tonight, talking about the Celtics after just a horrific last 4 or 5 days for the Celtics. Started out with the loss at home to LeBron James and the Lakers. Last second shot by Rajon Rondo, Celtics blowing an 18-point lead. That gets followed up by an even worse game where the Celtics open up a 28-point lead at home over the Clippers. And Doc Rivers got 6 new players on that team. That team is going nowhere fast. That team hadn't even practiced together with their 6 new players. They erased the 28-point deficit, wind up beating the Celtics by double figures. What happens after that game? Marcus Morris with his comments about we're not having fun, we're playing like a bunch of individuals, we haven't had fun all year, yada, yada, yada. Now, today, Al Horford did say that they addressed Marcus Morris's comments before practice, and ultimately he said that this is going to make the team better. You know, while these 2 losses really hurt, it's going to be a moment that this Celtics team looks back upon, and it's going to be a maturity moment, a learning moment for this team, and ultimately this experience will make them better as they make their way to the NBA playoffs. There's just 26 games remaining in the regular season here, and this Celtics team is really yet to find their rhythm. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we'll go. Let's go to Steve. Steve is in Miami. Steve, you're next up here on WEI.
Welcome back.
Hey, Steve.
Couple things. One, first of all, I was thinking back to ESPN on against the Chargers. If you saw somebody walking around that restaurant with a beagle, that was me. I even brought in the beagle looking for you.
Wow. I'm going to have to, my buddies took a bunch of pictures. I'm going to have to go through the pictures and see what I can find. You're probably in there, some random guy with a beagle.
Yeah. I mean, I was walking around. It was the second half, and I was walking around, Patrick Gilroy. and the guy, the manager's looking at me like, he brought in his dog?
Well, there will be a next time, that I can promise you. So.
Okay, well, when you see your friend down here at Pembroke Pines, I'm 20 minutes away.
Okay.
A couple of things. One, I am more and more thinking about what you say about Kevin Durant. I think I would rather have a chance at Kevin Durant, who has said in the past he would come here. And by the way, if I remember correctly, Anthony Davis, earlier, either last year or earlier this year, said the Celtics would be a team he would think of. about.
Yeah, he was on. Okay. So the Celtics were on Anthony Davis's short list last year. A rumored short list came out. The Celtics were on it. But at that time, you know, the Celtics had, I guess, a clearer, more easily defined future. So I think what's holding Anthony Davis back from declaring his love for the Celtics is essentially if the Celtics don't have Kyrie Irving and they don't replace him with another all-star caliber player, I think he's reluctant to go somewhere where he is the lone all-star once again, just like he is right now with the Pelicans.
And I fully understand that.
Yep.
But I'm one more thinking. And also I want to talk about one piece of hockey before we hang up. More and more I'm thinking about Durant. First of all, I don't think it would take both Brown and Tatum to get Durant. And he has been on a championship team. So I think that I'm starting to come around your way in thinking about that. I believe I'd rather have Durant. I don't think he would bring the drama with his father and all that stuff. And I know that can be easily dismissed and all that. We've heard lots of players in all the sports towns up in Boston and other places say, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. Kevin Garnett is a good example of that. So I'm just thinking that I think he's going to pull the trigger, Danny Ainge, but somehow I have a hard time thinking of Brown and Tatum going and you're getting a one-year rental with Anthony Davis. If that was the case, if I had the crystal ball, and I saw that Anthony Davis was going to try to get out of Boston after one season, I would not pull that trade. I definitely would not pull that trade.
I'll say this, Steve. If Danny Ainge pulls the trigger on that deal, Celtics fans don't want to hear this, but there'll be no guarantees. There'll be nothing from Anthony Davis or his camp that says that he is going to re-sign in Boston. They'll say the right things. They'll say, you know, we're playing for the Celtics this year, and you know we'll talk on July 1st of the following year about it. But there will be no. This is not Kevin Garnett at 31 years old. This is not Anthony Davis playing for the final big contract of his career. This is the first time, really, he's going to be a free agent where he can go out there and choose his destination, and he is not going to give up that luxury just because Danny Ainge mortgaged his future for him.
And let's not forget, it might become Kyrie Irving part two, because Kyrie Irving, we've been all year, okay, he's going to come back, and now we don't know. You know, so all year next year, be prepared, Celtics fans, because you're going to hear Anthony Davis, I'm enjoying myself, or whatever the case is. And until they sign a contract, we both know that those words don't mean a thing. I mean, how many players in the past have said for every team and every sport, oh, yeah, I enjoy playing here and all that, I'm going to sign a contract. Once they see the possibility of fleeing, whether it be Boston or any other city, and I realize Boston can give them a better deal, and I'm talking about Anthony Davis after next year because they will have his rights, and Kyrie Irving this year. But until they're fully satisfied with their contracts, there's no guarantees, like you said. Now, what I want to bring up is hockey. Joe Thornton, former Boston Bruin,
yep,
possibly one of the worst trades ever by the Bruins. Tonight, he just passed Gordie Howe for ninth place for the most assists in all of history of hockey. And I'll tell you, the Bruins have had so many bad trades throughout the last quite a few years, but that has to go down as one of the worst. You know, he was an all-star with the Bruins. I don't know what happened because I was down here. I don't know what happened to finally get rid of him, like a lot of other Bruins players, but I want to salute Joe Thornton. Understand that he started his assist career as a Bruin. Won't be going into the Hall of Fame as a Bruin, I'm sure. But, we gave up a heck of a young player at the time, and I just want to make note of that.
Listen, Steve, good stuff. I appreciate the phone call. And, yeah, Joe Thornton, that was a bad trade for the Bruins. That was like 20 years ago. It was a long time ago. Joe Thornton's been around a long time, and he's had one hell of a career. I'm not sure if he would have had the same career here in Boston or not. He seems to thrive out there in the West Coast. He's got that type of personality, and that's really where he did the majority of his damage throughout his career. He's had a very nice career, Hall of Fame career, and the Bruins missed out on a great one. It is Sports Radio WEI. Let's grab another one here. Let's go to Master IC. Master's up next here on WEI.
Peace, Patrick.
What's going on, my friend?
Nothing much. Peace to the human family. But I have to say, to begin with, no more speakerphones from the phone. A speakerphone from the car is a different quality. But this speakerphone from the phone, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's late night, though, man. Beggars can't be choosers here on late night. You know what I mean?
Oh, great. So it's late night. Everything goes. I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, we spent the night talking about the Celtics and Kyrie Irving.
Well, all right. I have 2 points. The first point is that the idea of basketball ultimately is that you're trying to score the ball and get it through a goal and a net, which is elevated, which is different from hockey or field hockey, for example, even soccer, right? The idea, which one of your callers pointed out earlier, is that he's a center, Anthony Davis.
Yep.
He's a center who's incredibly talented, and because he's taller and is athletically inclined, which all great positional players are athletically inclined, but the difference in basketball is that there's more value to a taller guy who has the talent to pass the ball, shoot the ball, get the ball in the net, and because he's taller, he has a better vantage view.
Yeah, right? No, I'll give you that. But there is certainly a lack of big men in today's NBA because the style in which the game is being played is certainly different than it was 20 years ago when it was Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, even Tim Duncan. So, yes, you know, if you're 7 feet tall, you have a clear advantage because there's only 3 feet separating your head from the basket as opposed to a six-footer. So you're right about that, but they have to fit into the confines of the way that the game is being played today as opposed to the way that it was played in the mid-90s.
No, I don't believe that. The point I'm trying to make to you is the fact that he's taller and as talented as he is what gives him the advantage, because the game of basketball has to remain true. The idea of having to score because the goal is elevated, the idea of being athletically inclined and taller, it's got to hold true. So, in other words, I understand the evolution of the game and the idea of the three-point shot and the mid-range jumper is missing, but it doesn't take away from the fact that the athlete who is 3 feet away from the hoop, who is a hell of an athlete that can do all the other things, it makes them more valuable. So my second part of this,
yep.
I'm glad you agree, Patrick. There you go.
I got you. I gotcha. There's certain things I can debate, certain things I can't debate. I can't debate the fact that, you know, a basketball hoop is 10 feet tall, and I can't debate the fact that a 7-footer has a higher likelihood of getting that ball in the basket, and that is the name of the game. The difference between Anthony Davis and Patrick Ewing is Patrick Ewing was a lumbering big center, and that could fly back then, back in the 80s and 90s, because it was a slowdown game, it was a half-court game, you could wait for your 7-footer to make his way down the court, post him up, it was different. Anthony Davis, he can run with the six-footers, and that's what makes him special, that's what makes him different.
Exactly, and he can still post up.
Yep.
And ultimately, that's what makes, that's why you can only call a tall NBA player a unicorn. You can't call a 5'6", 5'4", Muggsy Bogues the unicorn.
That's right.
You call the 7-foot player, especially in today's game. My second point is about the idea of this team as it is. I think there's a lack of heart, man. You know what happened the other day when they went against the Clippers? I would describe it as these guys are out here balling. They're playing ball. So it brought me to this, the idea of the role player, right?
Yep.
The idea of the role player is ultimately he has to put himself into a position of getting an open shot. In other words, getting to the space that's free or taking advantage of the dynamics of movement and you cut to the basket at the right time. And I don't know if there's enough of that going on. I mean, you tell me. I haven't been able to watch enough of the games. But how much movement, not passing the ball, But how much movement do you see on this team? How much movement do you see on the floor?
So Master, there's two answers to your question here. And tomorrow night, I want you to pay attention when the Celtics play the Sixers, because you'll see what I'm talking about. Kyrie Irving's not going to play tomorrow night. There will be movement without the basketball. You will see Gordon Hayward. You will see Jaylen Brown. You will see them move without the ball. You will see them come off of back screens and free themselves up from the free throw line extended. You will see them run the baseline a la the way that Ray Allen used to do to get themselves open for a three-point shot. They will move without the ball tomorrow night without Kyrie Irving. And guess what? It'll look nice. The offense will look fluid, and everybody will get their touches and be involved. Then Kyrie will come back inevitably, and he will be spectacular. He'll make three out of the top 10 plays on SportsCenter, but the ball will stick because he needs to have the ball stick for him to be his best self. His talents right now just don't translate well to the talents of his teammates, and I think that is a fundamental problem that this Celtics team will continue to have. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night, 3 hours down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion here. Kyrie Irving, Brad Stevens, the Boston Celtics. Also want to mix in a little bit of cheater talk here, because there's no question, there's no doubt in my mind and in your mind, Roger Clemens, he's a cheater. Barry Bonds, he's a cheater. But Julian Edelman, he's a flipping hero. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.